Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
On this Sunday, we've had a lot of sadness this last 24 hours, so I'm sure we'll be doing extra prayers today for all the people who lost their lives in El Paso and Dayton, and all those who were wounded. We really do need a lot of prayers. And as Rachel said when we sang, "Let There Be Peace on Earth," a couple of weeks ago, we really need to sing that song every Sunday. Well, I have just a few announcements. The prayer list is going to be revised. So if there's any special things that you want to put, Joanne would like you to sign at the back table. So please remember to do that, or people that you want to be prayed for won't make it unless you get your names back there. I have an announcement here from UMCOR. And they're thanking us for the support for Global Ministries. Through your financial support, you are serving a vital network of interactive relationships with more than 60 countries around the world, and they're thanking us for supporting our missionaries from Nepal, the Dormans. So, are there any? Well, we've got a lot of extra people here today, and I'm so happy that the visitors are here. And it's just, golly, both sides. You know, when you're standing up here, lots of times that side doesn't get very many people. And today, hallelujah. And the songs we're going to sing today, really good songs. So we'll hear it from all sides. So we thank all of you for being here. Are there any joys or concerns? Now, can he see around? Okay. All right. Because I just told James that I've been waiting for him many weeks for him to get here. So I want to make sure that he gets to see everybody. Sherry? Okay, he really needs prayers.
We'd like prayers for our young son, Chris, who just underwent a kidney procedure to remove three kidneys, a little more severe than they thought. So recuperation will be about 6 weeks, so it'll be perfect.
For Chris. Okay, prayers for Chris. Prayers for Steve Bailey. All right, you may ring the bell. Mr. Abel, will you stand for the call to worship? Let us bless God every chance we get.
We bless the God of our salvation.
Magnify the Lord.
We lift up God's name in praise.
Oh, taste and see that God is good.
Those that make their home in God are filled with joy.
Magnify the Lord with me.
We lift God's name in praise.
Let's continue with the opening prayer. Blessed are you, God of our salvation. As we turn to you in prayer, be with us and reveal to us your ways. Teach us to live in ways that honor you. Help us to be content with what we have rather than striving for more. Teach us, giver of all goodness, to do your strength for the sake of the gospel. Help us to be doers for your word and not hearers only. And help us to love others as you have loved us. Amen. Now our hymn of praise is Holy, Holy, Holy. It's page 64.
Good morning. It's good to see each of you. A special word of welcome to our visitors. And it's good for me to be here as well. I always try to say something personal about what's happening in my life at this time. For our visitors, I'm a retired pastor who serves this church less than full time. Our United Methodist vocabulary, I'm a quarter time pastor. I've yet to figure out what quarter time means. For some people it means I should work more, and for other people it means I should work less, I think, sometimes. But it's good to be here this morning. And one of my big projects for, I'd say about 6 years now, is we have this little piece of property, and we lived there over a year. It might have been 2 years, and we discovered it was bigger than we thought it was. There was about less than an acre, but almost an acre of ground that was ours that we didn't know. It was covered with brush. And so we gave it the name the new property. It's kind of weird, but and my project has to been to reclaim that and make it look like the rest of the property. So I've been clearing brush and stuff, and Mary's helped me, and some of the kids have helped me at times, and even grandkids have helped me. And I was looking at it yesterday, and I almost have it done. And I don't know what that means, you know, when you finish a project, what does that mean? What is next? But anyway, that's something that's been going on in that other part of my life that I enjoy. I want to invite you to a time of prayer. We'll have silent prayers first. Please pray for concerns shared. There are concerns on your prayer list in the bulletin as well. Following our silent prayers, we'll share a pastoral prayer together, and then following the pastoral prayer, we'll stand for the Apostles' Creed. Let's be in an attitude of prayer together, please. Heavenly Father, this is the day that you've made. We are rejoicing and glad in it. It's good to be in this place. It's good to be among your people. It's good to sing hymns of praise and offer to you our gratitude and our thanksgiving for your goodness. We believe that you have blessed us in many ways, and so we give you thanks. We're thankful for family and friends. We're thankful for that measure of health and strength we experience in our lives each day. We're thankful for opportunities to work and serve. We're grateful for your presence with us. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, who lived and died and was raised with power for us. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit who lives within us and guides and directs us and helps us to understand your word. We thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you that Jesus died for us and was raised with power for us. We thank you that through him our sins are forgiven and we become your children, brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you that we have experienced your love. And it's our prayer that you might use us each to share your love with others. We thank you for your blessings, and we give you praise. At the same time, we confess that we have done that which is wrong in your sight, not always doing the good we should do. In humility, we ask for forgiveness. We pray for the empowerment of your Spirit in our lives so that we might live in ways that are in harmony with your word and more pleasing in your sight. Thank you that you're a God who cares about people. You care about people in Ohio and Texas and faraway places and places closer to home. You care about those who hurt and suffer. And so we offer our prayers. At the same time, there are people we know who hurt and suffer. And we lift them to you as well and pray that we might be a part of the answer to our prayers, that you might use us where possible to share your love and give words of encouragement and hope to people. We pray for our world. We offer prayers for peace. We pray for the Dorans who are missionaries to Nepal. We pray for them and for the ministry they have there. We offer prayers for your church. We pray for that larger church that includes many different churches and denominations. We offer prayers for the churches here in Douglas and Saugatuck and the surrounding area, that you might bless them and use them still to share your love. We pray for this church, Saugatuck UMC. We have been blessed by you in many ways for many, many years, and we are grateful, but we pray that you might continue to work through this congregation to share your love. We offer prayers for the United Methodist Church, which is in conflict. We pray that your will and way might be done among us. Help us to look to you and to your word for guidance, we pray. We offer prayers for this worship service and this time together. May we sense your presence among us, and may we each, as we worship, hear a clear word from you for our lives today and this coming week. We offer these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand as we turn in our hymnal to page 882 for the Apostles' Creed. Let's offer these words together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born under the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
Scripture reading is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 37, verses 1 through 11 and 25 through 40. It's found on pages 492 and 493 in the Old Testament section of your Pew Bible. Fret not yourself because of the wicked. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fall like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will dwell in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your vindication as a light and your right as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over him who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall possess the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look well at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall possess the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging bread. He is ever giving liberally and lending, and his children become a blessing. Depart from evil and do good, so shall you abide forever. For the Lord loves justice, he will not forsake his saints. The righteous shall be preserved forever, but the children of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall possess the land and dwell upon it forever. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart, his steps do not slip. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not abandon him to his power, or let him be condemned when he is brought to trial. He will exalt you to possess the land. You will look upon the destruction of the wicked. I have seen a wicked man overbearing and towering like a cedar of Lebanon. Again I passed by, and lo, he was no more. Though I sought him, he could not be found. Mark the blameless man and hold the upright, for there is posterity for the man of peace. Transgressors shall be altogether destroyed, and the posterity of the wicked shall be cut off. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their refuge in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them, because they take refuge in him. The word of God for the people of God.
I want to invite you now for our prayer for healing. And I will offer the prayer. When I pause, that gives you the opportunity either aloud or silently to speak the name or names of people that we're praying for this morning. And sometimes we speak over each other. That's okay, because we're not offering these prayers, as you know, to one another, but to God. So let's be in an attitude of prayer. Dear Lord, comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. This morning we pray for in your mercy. This time our ushers will wait upon us, and we'll worship God with our tithes and offerings. Thank you. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us, and it's our prayer that you might bless others through us. We pray that you would receive these gifts and bless them and use them and us to your honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our next hymn is on 103, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Because I couldn't hear myself sing.
Scripture this morning is found in the book of Numbers, chapter 6, reading verses 24 through 26. The setting is after an offering, and words of instruction are given to Moses to tell Aaron and his sons these words to God's people. Number 6, beginning with verse 24. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Heavenly Father, in these brief moments, we pray you might speak to us anew through your word. Through your messenger, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance on you and give you peace. Those are familiar words. They're often spoken at the end of a worship service. We would recognize those words as a benediction. It's interesting that in the Old Testament worship service, these words were not spoken at the end of the service. they were spoken after the offering. And they, yeah, and they were to remind the people of their relationship to God. And I'm maybe reading too much into that, but I'm saying, you know, when we present an offering, in a way, we are making our attempt to bless God. And in reality, God is the one who blesses us and enables us to bless Him and to bless others. The word benediction really means a blessing. It comes from the Latin, from a word that means to speak well of. And so this passage in Numbers is both a benediction and a blessing. And the imagery is one that we are not that familiar with. It would be an ancient court of a king. And the king is, of course, in the center, and he's sitting lifted up, and there is an audience gathered around him. And if the king smiled at someone who was in the audience, it meant to show favor. If he lifted up his face, that meant that person could be sure to receive a gracious reception. Now, if on the other hand, he turned his face away, that was not a good sign. That was a sign of disapproval. So for a few moments this morning, I want us to consider this blessing, this benediction as it's here in Numbers, of the Lord on our lives. The Lord bless you and keep you. Originally, when those words were spoken, it was thought of in terms of prosperity and protection from evil. James Moffat's translation has, "The Lord bless you and protect you." I sometimes wonder if we understand what it means to be protected from evil. We sometimes think to be protected means that no hurt, no pain will come into our lives. But I've known a lot of good Christians over the years who have experienced a lot of pain, a lot of hurt, but they still had this sense that they were being protected by God. The book of Job tells us that God puts a limit on the evil that can come into our lives. He protects us in that way. Scripture affirms that with every temptation, God provides a way of escape. And I think most importantly, Scripture tells us that if we give those hard experiences of life to God, He will take responsibility for the consequences. I remember one of the really, really hard experiences for our family a number of years ago when the children were young. We had been in an appointment for 10 years, and I got a call from the district superintendent. And they wanted me to consider going to another church. And I tried to stay, but you know how those calls go, usually. And so we had to move. And it's hard for mom and dad, but sometimes it's hard for the kids. And one of our sons, he's not here, so I can tell you his name. Just, you won't tell him, right? It was Keith. Keith said to us, he was going to be a junior in high school the year we moved. And Keith said he had a girlfriend at that time. And he said, "I'm just going to stay here and live here. And I'll send you a card when I'm graduating from high school." That made us feel really good. And so we moved, and he moved down, and he played in the band. And so when basketball season came, every Friday night, he would drive back to the community where we used to live and play in the band during the basketball season, during the halftime. And still in the fall yet, he was bemoaning to us. He said, "You know, I don't have any friends here. All my friends are up north where we used to live." It wasn't long after that, there was a knock on the door, and there were three or four girls. They said, "Is Keith home?" They wanted to see Keith, the boy that didn't have any friends. Now, back when we were still there, before we moved, I had tried to tell the kids that if they would give this to God, this hardship that had come into their lives, and ask him to bless it, if they could do that — it was hard to do — that God would bring good from it. And so Keith, 2 years later, he graduates from the high school where we moved to. And towards the end of his last semester in school, he was helping in some of the classes with the teaching. And then he went on to college. And before he finished college, he was teaching at the high school where we had moved to. He got a teaching position there. And he's done well in the place that he didn't want to go to. I don't know if you've had that experience. Romans 8:20, one of my favorite verses, says, all things work together for good for those who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. There's a story in the Old Testament, the story of Joseph, whose brothers were jealous because their dad loved Joseph more, and out of their jealousy, they sold him and became a slave, and they told their dad that he had been killed by a wild animal. And it's a long story, but in the end, they're reunited, and the brothers understand that now Joseph has an opportunity to bring revenge on them for what they had done to him, and they are fearful because they believe their lives are in danger and maybe even their families. And Joseph's words to them were, "You intended it for evil, what you did to me, but God intended it for good." When bad things happen to God's people, if we're able to give that to him, he can bring good out of it. And that's part of God's keeping us. "The Lord make his face to shine upon you." Moffat has it, "May the Lord smile on you and favor you." There are certain people who I like to see their smiles. You know, I like to see my wife smile. I don't like to see her frown. I like to see my kids smile, my grandkids smile. When I'm preaching, I don't preach for approval, but, you know, sometimes it's nice to see a head nod in agreement, or even a smile, or a sincere amen. We don't hear many of those in the Methodist Church anymore, but those are good too. I had this experience a number of years ago when I was teaching Sunday school in one of the churches I was at. There was it was the high school Sunday school class, and it was made up of boys, and most of them were on the varsity basketball team, and so I said to them, "You know, I'm going to try to go to as many of your games as I can go to. And I did manage to go to a lot of their games. There was one boy, when he would come out on the floor before the game started, before he left to go back into the locker room, he'd look around for certain people. He would look for his parents, and they would, you know, exchange a look, smile, and somewhere in the course of that, he would look and find Mary and I would smile and give him a thumbs up, and he would do the same for me. I don't know what that meant for him, but it meant a lot to me because I remember it after all these years. The smile of God's approval. One of the greatest blessings in life is to have the smile of God's approval. And that smile of God's approval doesn't come through attending church. It doesn't even come by being a really, really good person. A smile is not something we can earn. The only way to experience God's smile of approval is through His Son. And so when we accept Christ as our Savior and as our Lord and seek to serve God through Him, God smiles with approval. Has God smiled on you? Does your life meet His approval? And be gracious to you. Sometimes it's hard to be gracious. Being gracious means giving that which is not deserved. Giving that which is not deserved. Most of the time, we operate under the thing, I only want what I deserve, and I'm only going to give you what you deserve. I like to pay my grandkids for doing work at our house, but I like to pay them more than what they deserve. I don't want them someday when they're grown to say, Grandpa, how much he paid me? Only $2. I don't want them saying something like that. I was talking to Harris, and I've been paying my grandkids $10 an hour. I thought I was being gracious. And then I heard what he was paying his grandkids. So I had to up mine, not to keep up with Harris, but I don't want to be stingy with my grandkids. I want to be gracious. Here's the truth. None of us, no matter how or how much or how little we have received, none of us really want, I don't think, what we deserve. And all of us have received more than we deserve in some way or another. God has been gracious to us. And when we realize that, it makes it easier to be gracious to others, to give them not what they deserve, but more than they deserve. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. James Moffat's translation has, "May the Lord befriend you and prosper you." To know God as your friend and not as your enemy is a tremendous blessing. Many people have the wrong idea about God. They see Him as someone who robs life of joy. They see Him as the one who brings suffering and pain into their lives. And yet, when we know Him as friend, we know the opposite is true. He is the one who gives life. And the joy that can come into our lives because we know him is unspeakable. And he allows, it's true, pain and suffering to come into our lives. He always uses it for good and not for evil. So another question, how has God's friendship been made real in your life? Has he given to you that peace that passes all understanding? Mary, my wife, grew up in a Quaker church, and she used to tell about one of the pastors that was there. From time to time, he would say to his congregation, "Do you have the peace?" And then he would say, "If you don't, you need to find out why." There's a postscript to this blessing found in Numbers. And that is the reason for the blessing and the secret of the continuation of the blessing. It's very simple. God blesses us that we might bless others. If you feel like you've been blessed, if you feel that way, then the obligation is to bless others. Our former bishop, a number of years ago, Judith Craig, used to tell this story. And it goes like this. She says that back in the 60s, her parents moved into an old, run-down farm in Arkansas. And one of the first things they had to do was to put in a new well. She said they had to drill down 150 feet. They finally hit water. And she said the water was good. It was cold. It was clear. And it tasted good. We've all had water that didn't taste good. It tasted good. And jokingly, she called it Arkansas champagne. According to her, it was the best water she'd ever tasted. Over the years, that well watered the grass, kept it green. It provided moisture for flowers and garden. And while her parents were alive, it never failed. And they lived out their retirement years on that small farm. But eventually, both of her parents died, and it became necessary to sell the farm. It took time, and several months passed before someone stepped forward to purchase the farm. And one of the first things they had to do in order to complete the sale was to test the water. And the family thought, well, there's no problem. This water has been good all these years. But when the report came back, they were shocked because the report said that the well, it hadn't gone dry, but it was sour. It wasn't good. A place that had been a place of blessing had lost its power to bless. But there was a simple solution to the problem. The well needed to be pumped. And she says, as the water flowed, it became fresh again, and the blessing returned. Once again, the water was fresh, clear, cold, and tasty. That's a illustration for a church, for individual lives. Be blessed, to continue to be blessed, is to recognize the obligation to be used by God to bless others. Heavenly Father, many of us sense that your blessing has been upon us, and we give you thanks. We pray that you would use us to bless others. And for some, that blessing may seem meager and small. We pray that your blessing would be upon us all, and we might have eyes to see really how much you've blessed us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. A few words about communion. In the United Methodist Church, communion is always open. Anyone who knows Christ or seeks Christ is welcome to receive the elements. At the time the elements are received, we'll ask you to come forward using the center aisle. Return to your seats using the outside aisles. Our words for the service are found on page 12. We'll just use a portion of that, page 12 in the hymnal. Hear the words of invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with a whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's pray silently, asking God's forgiveness in our lives. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. On the night that Jesus shared a last meal with his disciples, he broke bread and shared a cup, telling them that this was his body given for them and his blood shed for them. And he invited them to do this as oft as they would in remembrance of him. Heavenly Father, it's our prayer that as we receive these elements, we might receive Christ anew into our hearts and lives and might receive his forgiveness and his empowerment to serve you and to serve people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like invite you to stand as we sing our last hymn, number 545, The Church's One Foundation. Invite you to join me in sharing the benediction together. The words are printed in our bulletin. Grant us, O Lord, that which we have said with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and that which we believe in our hearts, we may practice in our lives. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.